From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Once upon a time, the seed catalogs came out around the start of the new year, but these days, the very first ones may arrive by Thanksgiving, and their listings may be posted online even earlier. So I guess what I'm saying is, it's not too early to start talking about seed shopping, and it's never too early to start scouting out new seed sources that you might not know about. My guest today is the adventurous seed shopper, Joseph Tokanovich, who has called himself a plant-crazed garden nerd, and we're here together today to share some of our favorite places to track down unusual goodies of all kinds, from alpines to native perennials. More in a moment, but first, these messages.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners on the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, whiteflowerfarm.com.
Joseph Tokanovich is a writer, a plant breeder, and of course, a gardener, and the author of the book Rock Gardening, Reimagining a Classic Style, plus a graphic novel on growing food called The Comic Book Guide to Growing Food. You may recall past conversations we've had on the show about other passions of his, such as snapdragons and gladiolus. Joseph gardens in South Bend, Indiana, and I'm glad he made time to talk to us today from there. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay. I had a little snow last night. How about you?
I had a lot of snow. We have about a foot on the ground. So.
Oh, sorry. Happy early November.
Diving into winter with a bang here.
Yeah. Okay. So much for those spring-like or early fall-like days of a few days ago. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. So seed shopping, first of all, I'm just going to have to confess, have you already ordered some things?
Yes.
Okay, truth be told, he has already. Uh-huh. I think the rarer the items on your wish list and the more obscure your sources, it's kind of a race to get there before they're gone, because these are not giant factory type places we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, and also sometimes it's because seeds, you know, you can store them. I'm a little bit, sometimes if I get a bee in my bonnet about something, I'm ordering seeds all the time. Even if I'm not going to sow it till the spring, sometimes if I start thinking about it, then, you know, anytime you order it, it can sit in my seed box until I get around to it. So I'm kind of always ordering seeds, if I'm honest.
Okay. Now we have the full confession. The seed box, where does it live? Is it live in a special, cool, dry place? Or where is it, in your house? Or
I keep it in my basement, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
And then they're like Tupperware tubs, and I put a little bit of silica gel, which is that absorbs moisture that
yes.
you see in those little packets in shoes and stuff, in the bottom to keep them nice and dry. So that's kind of my system. They used to be in the refrigerator, but mm-hmm. my husband thought that maybe we should keep the refrigerator space for food. So now they're in the basement.
He's so boring. He's so boring. Doesn't understand at all. Are there some things that you order every year, like that you can't sort of live without? I mean, for me, I like to make this particular vegetable soup, and I have this one bean, this pole bean called Aunt Ada's Italian pole bean. It's one of those ones, is like a greasy bean from the South. It's one of those ones where the shell stays on and the beans mm-hmm. are plump inside, but the beans are tender and the shell stays tender. So it's like you get the green and the bean in your soup, and it's rich and wonderful. And so I get that from Turtle Tree Seed every year, and that's in Valley of New York near me. And, you know, it's like I have to have that. Is there anything like that that you absolutely have to have?
I think I usually end up ordering different things. I mean, there's stuff I grow every year. You know, there's a few tomatoes I have to grow every year.
Uh-huh.
But usually I save seeds from them myself.
Ah.
And then I'm often, yeah. So I'm always ordering some kind of kale, and it's like an Asian broccoli. The cultivar is Happy Rich. That is my must have
oh.
for the vegetable garden that I get from Johnny's Selected Seeds. It's almost like a broccolini, but I love it because you can plant it once, it makes a big bush, and it just keeps, like, I can harvest about once every 1 or 2 weeks all summer long.
It's interesting. There's one, and I don't know how to pronounce it. It has a Latin American name like Piracicaba,
Okay.
Piracicaba, Piracicaba. And that is one that it will keep yielding not giant heads, but
Right.
florets again and again and again and again and again over many weeks. And it's great
Yeah.
that way.
Yeah. I kind of don't want the giant heads.
No.
It's so impractical. I know that's what the grocery stores you're used to seeing, but one
Right.
big heads, if you plant them all at once, you just get this deluge of broccoli and then nothing. So I like the ones that send off small
Yeah.
offsets
Oh, interesting.
sort
I
of
don't know that
continuously.
one.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, okay. So you hunt for other kinds of seeds. You have a lot of plant passions. You're an alpine gardener. You breed plants. You have all kinds of, I think I said in the introduction, you call yourself a plant crazed garden nerd. It's what kinds of places do you scout out? What are some of the things you're looking for?
So I love some kind of small eclectic company that it's one person with a passion who's collecting, unusual seeds. I would love stumbling on them. Usually my favorite, if the website looks like it hasn't been updated since, the internet, since it was AOL or something, that's always a great sign. And one I really love, there's a company called Seed Hunt, which is run by a woman named Jenny Hunt in California, which is all California native seeds. And it's just like her singular passion. And it's just fascinating because the whole list is stuff I've never heard of, which is catnip for me.
Got to try it, right? So you want
Yes,
to know whether or
gotta
not.
try it. Yeah.
So
So I'm.
California natives, interesting.
Yeah. And what's interesting is she has a lot of California native annuals. Obviously, the perennials I can't grow because,
Yeah.
it snowed yesterday, but there's a lot of California native annuals that germinate when the rains come, I guess in the fall, and are kind of winter, spring, false, cool season annuals for California that actually do pretty good in my Midwestern summer. Clarkia is a huge genus, and every year I just have to order new species of Clarkia from Seed Hunt just to see which ones are going to do well for me here in the Midwest.
That's great. So Seed Hunt. Okay, so that's one, and that's one I've never heard of. So that's interesting. And then people who are listening, who are of course are from the West, may wish to indulge in some of the perennials and so forth
Yes,
as well.
for sure. Yeah, if you are out on the West Coast, I'm sure they've hopefully have heard of it already. But yeah, it's such a really tons of stuff that I don't think you're going to find in any, the traditional catalogs.
Okay. Any other sort of ones from other regions of the country?
So the other one that's also out west is called All Plains, ALPLAINS. And again, it's this one guy who co goes and collects seeds, and he's somewhere, I think he's in Colorado, so he's kind of in the mountain west. And again, it's all these, I mean, I would say 90%+ native species from that region, but really fascinating. I really like it because he has this huge list of all these species, again, I've never heard of, but he also, each listing has a lot of information about where the native population that the seeds originally came from is from. So I'm really into hardy cactus right now, and there's a species, Echinocereus reichenbachii, which ranges really widely through the West to high elevations and up north and south. And so there's forms that are hardy that are from like zone 4, and there's some forms that are from like zone 7. And he has all these different listings, so I can kind of pick out the ones from the higher altitude or the northern range that are most likely to survive my winters.
Now, of course, that genus of cactus just s sort of flowed off your tongue, and I have no idea what you said because I don't think I kind what?
Echinocereus.
Interesting. Don't know it. Okay.
Yeah. So they're sometimes called hedgehog cactus.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
The typical hardy cactus for us in the East are the prickly pears, the Opuntias.
Yes.
And I hate them so much because they have the little glochids, the little hairs that stick in your skin for
Yeah.
feels like days afterwards. Echinocereus is a really beautiful genus, lots of very hardy species. They're spiny, but they don't have those little hairs, so they don't embed themselves in you. I find them much
Much, friendlier.
yes, friendlier and really, really, really fun to grow.
And so when you grow a cactus from seed, is this a, it's a perennial, yes. So do you start it? Is it a winter sown thing, or is it a how long an investment is that before you see something come up?
They actually germinate really fast. They don't
Oh.
need any kind of cold treatment or anything. Some species do. I think Opuntias do. But they germinate pretty fast. So, I sow them. I tend to see put them. The seeds are surprisingly teeny, and the seedlings actually or don't want to dry out because they're so small at first. But they germinate within a matter of a few weeks. And when they first germinate, they're the cutest little because they come up and there's already succulents. So it's the
Oh.
little tiny cotyledons are like all fat and swollen, and they're like little fat little round. I don't know. They're so cute, and they're really slow. The first like 6 months, they just look teeny, but then they start growing pretty fast. And I get flower, they start, getting up to flowering size in like even like 3 years after I first sowed them.
So it's an investment plant, but it's not something you're going to find otherwise unless you did it
No,
yourself.
there's really not. I mean, you can find, especially, you can find the species for sale, but often what you'll find for sale are more the southern forms or the lower altitude forms that are
Not going to be as hardy.
not going to be as hardy. And then I also like that I can grow. Packet, I can grow 100 of them. And that gives me some variation because, see, you get this wonderful genetic diversity. And
Right.
so that first winter, I plant them out and I usually lose like a quarter of them that are not quite as hardy, but the rest survive. And I kind of get to do a little bit of almost like a little bit of mini plant breeding just by growing a big seed population and finding
And
them.
then selecting among
Yeah.
the
And or letting
survivors.
the winter just kill off the weaklings.
Oh, cool. So all plains, that is. Okay. And
Yeah.
there's like alpine plants and so forth there. So all kinds of
Alpine plants,
interest.
a lot of desert plants, all from the American, mountain west, but just all kinds of, things like phlox, which I think I know, but I only know some of the eastern species really. There's all these western species that I've never heard of. And I'm like, ooh, I want to try all of them.
Any other catalogs that are you're looking at right now? When I say catalogs, of course, that's what we've always called them, seed catalogs. And a lot of these, there's no paper version anymore. You know what I mean? It's it's or there never was in some of these cases. It's a website usually. So
Yeah, I think most of these, I don't think anything I had on my list to talk to you about has a paper version actually, because the postage for these little, well, maybe one, but another one I really love is Hayfield. And I don't know, this is Nancy Andra's. She had a garden blog for a long time. She's in the Philadelphia area, I think. And on her website, she has this wonderfully eclectic list of seeds, many collected from her own garden, few are her own selections of th things like variegated sunflowers or a morning glory with yellow leaves, or a lot of old-fashioned annuals that are too tall to sort of be in the tradition. You're not going to find them at the garden centers. So a lot of interesting old-fashioned annuals, off the beaten path stuff. It's kind of, you never quite know what you're going to find in her list, which is I love. There's vegetables, there's flowers, it's all, perennials. It's just a very personal kind of list of plants that she loves, and she's a fantastic gardener.
Oh, that
So
sounds like such fun.
it's really fun because I feel like you get this little window into what she loves to grow, and often it's something that, a variegated form popped up in her garden and she's saved for years. So it's a really fun, I feel like I'm getting a little piece of her gardening spirit every time I order from her catalog.
You remind me that about that the sort of the selections and the oddballs that show up. And my friend Ken Drew sent me some. He likes, as you do, to, get unusual things and then grow them out from seed and see which are the best ones. And he had some. I love pokeweed, which a lot of maybe a lot of people don't like, but I love it. And he has various yellow leafed and variegated leafed forms that he had some seedlings of. And so he sent me some of those. And that it's really fun. It's just fun to see what they're going to grow up into.
That's very the type of thing that you're going to find. She almost certainly has variegated pokeweeds in her seed list. It's the type of thing you're never going to find it at the big box store.
No, definitely not.
But it is a
Okay.
really cool and actually really beautiful native plant. And it's so she has a lot of those types of things that are maybe a little off the beaten path, but really, really fun to
So where do we go next to spend some more money?
Well, my next list, this is so the ones I've talked about so far are kind of most like it's one person, their personal passion, but my you can find anything you want is Jalito perennial seeds, which probably people, I don't know, I'm sure you've heard of.
Oh, sure. Yeah. In
Yeah, they're
Germany,
just
yes.
in,
Germany.
yeah, based in Germany and probably one of the biggest perennial seed producers in the world. And they so it's pretty much exclusively perennial seeds. It's a huge list. They do sell a lot of wholesale, so a lot of wholesale growers are buying from them, but they sell retail and really nice. They do have an office in the US. So despite tariffs and everything else, you can still get seeds from them.
Oh, he said the T word. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But Jalito is, I mean, one, it's the most comprehensive list of any kind of perennial you can imagine from seed, probably you'll find anywhere. So all kinds of things, which is really, really fun. They also have a really interesting line of what they call their gold nugget seed line, which are their pre-treated seeds. So they take seeds that normally would take like a, you know, a cold period and all this kind of stuff to germinate, and they have it's this their trade secret how they do it, but treating it with some kind of hormone, plant hormones probably, so that they'll germinate in like 2 weeks. So if you don't want to fuss with, well, I have to take the Luicia seeds and put them outside for the winter and then bring them in and all the da da da, you can just order the gold nugget form and they germinate like your zinnias would.
So they've been conditioned already.
Yeah, they've given all the pre-treatments you need, and it can really simplify if you're kind of like, oh, do I want to fuss with how, you know, this thing needs sandpaper and then soaked and, you know,
Right,
and
to
put outside for
stratify
the
or
cold.
scarify or whatever it
Yeah, all those
is.
kind of elaborate things for a lot of seeds. They have these nice shortcuts, which can be really, yeah, a fun, you know, in easy way to get into some weird things if you don't want to mess with all the seed treatments.
Yeah, and of course we're going to give with the transcript of the show over on awaytogarden.com. I'm going to give all the links to all of these places so people don't have to worry if they don't know how to spell one of the names or whatever. I'm going to have all that. We'll have a
Yeah.
list.
Yeah. And I love Jalito too, because despite being a German-based company, they have a really great list of US North American native plants, which
Well,
is
and of course the German gardeners, German designers, well, a lot of European designers had an appreciation of our native perennials and so forth long before we
yeah,
did,
I feel like
horticulturally speaking.
when I was in college studying horticulture, all the selections of native plants were from Germany, our native plants, like the first selections of echinaceas and all these things. Yeah, so I think they actually started appreciating our native prairie plants in particular
Yes, and celebrating them.
before we did. So they still have really great, so sometimes, I mean, we have some great, you know, now we have more great native plant nurseries and seed sources in the US, but they still are a really great option if you're looking for a lot of native perennials where they're going to have great selections and really very high quality seed, because they do often sell to wholesale growers. So they have germination tested, they're very clean. You can really rely on high reliable germination from them. Where sometimes, you know, if it's a backyard operation, maybe it's not, you know, sometimes you wonder how, but it's like a very high quality, high germination rates, and really, really extensive list of cool plants.
So you also shop at plant societies and so forth. And when I say shop, it's not like they have stores or again, like a printed catalog or whatever. There are like seed swaps and online, seed exchanges and things like that. Various plant societies have that. And you do that as well, don't you? I mean, it's sort of an alternative method to get really special things.
Yeah, so a lot of plant societies have seed exchanges where the members collect seeds from their plants, send them into the society, and then there's a, you know, option for other members then to get those seeds. And I do think that's probably, if you really want to get the rarest, most unusual things, the seed exchanges are usually where you can find the most off the beaten track plants. And it's also though so. There's something dangerous about it, because if I see something in Jalito and I'm not sure if I want to buy it, I know it'll be there next year because they're a big company. But if you see it on the seed exchange list, you're like, it may never be there again because somebody donated it this year. And there's this sense of so many things. I'm like, why did I order that? But there's that sense of, oh, if I don't get it now, I'm going to miss out, which makes it fun, but also is interesting to see what you What species you can get. So my top society seed exchange is the North American Rock Garden Society, which I work for. I edit their journal and I'm very involved in. And it's obviously because the Rock Garden Society, a great seed exchange for alpine plants. But I think Rock Garden Society people are just, they're like the alpha plant. So they just
Oh.
love everything. And so I've found what one year I grew some weird species of cosmos I've never heard of. That's, that someone
Huh.
from Mexico, I ne literally never seen it before or since. So it's just, you never know what you're going to find. All kinds of, a good representation again of native species. The people are collecting seeds from a lot of alpine species, a lot of really unusual things. And it's a really fun, there's a kind of, because the seed exchange opens in December every year, and you have like this, it's first come, first serve, and some of these things are very limited quantity. So there's kind of this fun sense of marking on your calendar, and okay, I have to
Yes.
get up that morning, get on the seed exchange, and quickly figure out what I want and try to get my order in fast to make sure I get the cool things before they're gone.
So do you with something like this, like North American Rock Garden Society, or the Jes Nereid Society, the Peony Society, the Primula Society, because a lot of these places, and I actually have a list on awaytogarden.com of plant societies I can probably link to as well. Do you have to be a member? I think your members get first dibs, so to speak. Yes, I mean.
I think most of them you have to be a member to participate. I think it varies by society. I think the Primrose Society, the first round is only open to members, and then they have a second round that's open to
That's what I
everybody.
remembered. That's the one I'm
Yeah,
remembering.
I
Yep.
think so it depends on the society. Most of them you do need to be a member. And then usually if you're a member, you can then order seeds, and there's a small fee to cover, the postage and everything for ordering the seeds. So you'd have to membership, but and then usually, if you donate seeds, then you're allowed to order even more.
Right.
So there's a limit of, in the first round, you can order 10 packets of seeds or something. But if you donate it to the exchange, you can order, I don't know, it's going to depend on the society, 15. So you don't have to, if you don't have seeds to share to the exchange, you can still order seeds. But if you do, have something in your garden you can collect seeds from and send in, then you can, get more plants from the exchanges.
Right. And one that's not a plant society that's very famous was the original part of Seed Savers Exchange is now just called the Exchange. And most of us know the commercial catalog, the retail catalog that they create every year. But the Exchange was the hub, the beginning of it. And it's what you're talking about. It's a virtual seed swap, and you can go on and see who's got what. And in that case, I don't believe you have to also offer anything. You can purchase from all the listers, I think as they're called. And it's really wonderful because it's a phenomenal number of things. I mean, you're just not going to see them anywhere else. So it's just fun, and you can find people in your region if you're looking for things that are appropriate for your region or whatever. And I mean, all these heritage varieties and hand-me-downs with provenance, with great stories to tell and so forth. So the exchange at Seed Savers is kind of a fun way to get into that world too. Not a plant society per se. Yeah.
Yes, certainly for vegetable, if you're into vegetable growing. I mean,
Oh, absolutely. And they have flowers and
they do
stuff too, and
flowers too,
herbs.
but
Yeah.
certainly I think,
But the vegetables is amazing. Yeah,
like
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
tomato selection is
Yeah, it's
like
unbelievable.
hundreds and hundreds
Yeah,
of
yeah, yeah,
tomatoes,
yeah.
and it's really, yeah, and it is really fun. I love, like you said, the stories. I think there's something really fun about not just, well, I bought this thing, but getting a sense of the connection of somebody collected this and donated it and shared it, and they have some of the background and stuff. It adds like another dimension to enjoying the plant beyond just its function in your garden when you have a little bit of that
Yeah.
backstory of the other people who loved it and donated it to the exchanges.
Yeah. So we have maybe 2 minutes, and I just, is there another one that you want to mention, or anything that you're like hunting down, any project you have going? Because I mean, you're always into some plant or other. Or is there something that you're
Well, the one I'll mention is Silver Hill Seeds,
Oh, yes.
which is based in South Africa and is amazing. But they're a little bit, right now they're taking a pause because they don't, the tariff situation, they're not sure how they can import. I think they
Right,
will start
right.
importing to the US again, so they're on a pause right now. But I've gotten involved with my local conservatory, and so I'm thinking about South African plants that maybe I can get
Sure.
from them. But there, yeah, certainly if you live in Southern California, which is a similar climate to South Africa, or you have, a greenhouse place, they're a really cool place to
Yes.
get unusual, really unusual South African species.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Some of the bulbs.
Oh
Oh,
my God,
the
amazing.
bulbs alone, just the bulb, the diversity of bulbs in South Africa is just beyond belief. Yeah.
Astonishing. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Joseph Jokanovich, I'm glad. I mean, we're gonna have to do more seed chopping together, I think, because I suspect there's even more, and maybe some seed starting. I might need some, I want some more of your tips, but thank you so much for making time. And I'm sorry about the foot of snow.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for talking. This was a great distraction from
Yes.
all the tree branches that broke off in the
And the T
snowstorm.
word and all that.
Yes.
I hope I'll talk to you soon. And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you again soon, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as at awaytogarden. And happy gardening and seed shopping meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners on the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, HighMowingSeeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, WhiteFlowerFarm.com.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of AwayToGarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.